OG Podcast Network presents. Welcome to Fireside.
First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mitty's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even the superhero fight club, we usually lose. So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features. And either listen by weekly or you can binge us. We gotta know, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show, this is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Mr. Maurer, and with me, as always, are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. P Features.
Hello, internets.
And as always, like that infection you can't get rid of.
Wow.
That's accurate.
Baby wow. Huey.
Beep both of you.
What's what? Going on?
No, beep what's you and on? Beep you.
What's going on?
Oh, tell me what's going on. Mm. What's going on?
Oh,
beep ya.
So as you can probably tell, his royal happiness is not here with us today.
He's not. He's
wait
not.
Till you get a load of what happened to Menti.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
So, you know, he's got the new house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he put his furniture together and it looked right.
Oh, okay.
But he's for the first time ever living alone. So, as any grown man has done when the first time they live alone and they have hardwood floors.
Mm.
Old time rock and roll came on.
Oh.
Slid out in his boxers.
Risky business.
Forgot that he's going to keep sliding. Hit the wall.
Oh.
Messed up his ankle. He's now laid up, unable to move. He had to cancel his appearance on Monday that he was supposed to do for us down to the city for Herman and the Peace and Love because his skinny butt, because now he's skinny.
Yeah.
Didn't realize the momentum that he would carry with socks on a hardwood floor.
Yeah.
So
it's tragic.
That old kind of rock and roll knocked his ass out.
Wow.
But the show must go on, and today is what day? It's Wednesday. And yeah. What does that mean?
New news.
So nasally.
Can you give me like a hello internet's level new news?
New news.
I think I'd like that one.
I like
a little
that
better.
One.
Can we go for that? I won't give you crap if we get that one from now on.
I actually like that one. Try it again, Feech.
And Wednesday means what?
New news.
Look at his eyebrows when he does it.
He's got like that late night jazz. WJJZ. Features is coming for you, ladies. So yeah, we got news this week. There's not a lot of news, but we got some really cool things to talk about.
Yeah.
And we've got some cool reviews that we're going to drop in here of some things that came out in the past week. So
sweet.
Grab your white gloves, open up some comics, and let's dive in with some topics such as Shazam taking a jab at Batman.
Tom Holland leaks Endgame.
And we got Kelsey Grammer joining the Arrowverse.
What? Are there ninjas?
Wait, who's Kelsey Grammer?
Beast.
The Beast is on Arrow?
The Beast has joined Arrow.
Or Frasier.
Who?
Who? What?
Cheers.
Who?
What?
I'm old.
Yeah, you are. Let's kick it off in comics and those whiny Walmart folk.
Very whiny.
So we've got that Walmart comic book. You know, the DC oversized magazine.
Oh, yeah. I remember
multiple
that.
Stories inside of it. It's been doing really well. They've been putting some really cool content in it to give people a reason to go and get that.
Hmm.
Well, this month, because it's monthly, right?
Yeah, monthly. Yeah.
This issue shows a pretty graphic scene that depicts Lois Lane getting murderized. And the Walmart customers freaked out saying, I'm never going to buy this again for my kids. Now, I'm sorry if I'm making fun of them, but it's a comic book. There's some violence in it.
Okay.
It never said it was for kids.
Nope.
But they're throwing a fit. Now, if you remember, back in our day,
yep,
Walmart was famous for editing CDs and not carrying certain CDs.
Mm.
True. They always had to edit it.
So this seems like it's a carryover of that older Walmart demographic.
Yeah.
Expecting like, okay, we're going to Walmart. We're going to get neutered content.
Neutered.
So Tom King, you know, the man of many words, kind of responded to this.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He said a lot.
Okay.
I'm going to break it down just a little bit of it. So he talks about, hey, first off, this is not the story about Lois Lane getting murdered. this is Superman's off. He can't get in contact with Lois. And when anyone can't get in contact with the loved one, the worst things in the world go through your mind. You know, if it's late at night, you haven't heard somebody get home, your loved one, you're like, they're in a gutter somewhere. You know, all this stuff bad happened. Like, you imagine, like, the worst case scenario because you can't get through them. So this is Superman's worst case scenario. Is Lois Lane being murdered. So that none of this isn't really happening. It's just what he's imagining too. And this is where he kind of throws down the screw you.
Mm.
He's like, yes, we did say this was a great jumping in point for comic book fans to read new stories.
Mm.
We never said this was a great jumping in point for kids.
That's true.
So he's like, you don't look at it before you buy it for your kid?
Right. What's wrong with these people?
So, and I know Menti would be here and be like, the views of Mr. Mauer does not reflect that of Fireside. Well, screw that. I'm here alone. I can say what I want.
I actually kind of agree with you. You got so many parents who will review anything else, right, beforehand and say, oh, well, I can't let you get this. Or, you know, but you remember when Mortal Kombat first came out.
Right.
Right. They whined and complained about that until we got we had to get a blood code to get what we actually wanted.
Well, in my view has always been this, you know, it's not up to the content providers to, you know, parent your kids, talk to your kids. Now, we make jokes here that I'm this crazy sociopathic murderer, and it might be
we're
true.
We're not joking.
That was a joke?
At a young age, I was able to watch horror movies and harder-edged films and read stuff at a little more adult level because my mom made me understand this is not real. You know, you cannot do this.
Right.
You know, I never would think of doing some of the things that I saw. So you're not going to blame the content. I listened to all the worst music. I watched all the worst things. I've never gotten in trouble. I've never been arrested. As much as we joke about this, like, pretty straight-laced. But we have these kids now that don't have people parenting. They're expecting, well, you can't say that on TV. And, you know, they have to go to the movies and we don't want to see this. And Just read the comic.
Yeah.
And guess what? You might have fun reading the comic and then bond with your kid a little bit more rather than throwing them in a room and have them play video games.
Yeah. True.
Parenting with Mr. Mauer.
You don't have kids, though.
I have a baby Huey.
Well, that's true.
Wait a minute.
Son, read the next news.
Oh, man. So we got Doom is now in control of Galactus.
Wait, what?
So in the latest issue of Fantastic Four, Galactus comes to Earth yet again.
To eat us?
Well, he said he was here to fight Doom.
What?
Wait. Yeah. Big-ass Galactus came to fight little bitty Doom.
Yeah. And Doom was all like, I got this. Everyone stand back. And what? He went and defeated Galactus. So then the final page, it shows Doom like basically holding Galactus in his hand.
What?
And Doom basically going like, you know, basically his master plan's working out.
Yeah.
So somehow Doom is in control of Galactus.
It's voodoo.
So it's not really, he's pulling a Mysterio on us.
That
and it's not really Doom. He's just,
you mean right. Galactus?
Well, yeah, it's not really Galactus. It's image of Galactus. You know what? That sounds really cool. And that's the Doom book.
No, it's Fantastic Four.
I don't want to buy Fantastic Four.
You're buying it.
I am. I like Doom. And we'll get, if you listen to us Saturday, we might touch on Doom just a little bit. A little doom and gloom. Staying in comics, Spider-Man is going back in black again. I feel like every
there's an AC/DC
10 to 18 months, we throw something with Spider-Man back in black or the black costume or.
Well, because everyone loves the black costume. It's iconic.
You know who doesn't? Todd McFarlane.
He doesn't.
He hated that.
He hated that costume.
We got that firsthand from him.
Yeah. That story, so, side note, when we were at New York Comic Con, we got to see him talk about how Venom was created.
Yeah.
Turns out that was one of the first times he told that story. And that's been the story he's been telling on the tour now. If you didn't get a chance to see him, basically the gist of it is Todd McFarlane, new artist, wanted to draw comics for Marvel. They're like, whatever you do, don't go down to the Spider-Man book. They got no clue. Young guy's like, well, screw it. I'm going to go down there.
Don't touch the red button.
Goes down to Spider-Man. They're like, yeah, we'd love for you to draw. And they showed him. He's like, yeah, but I don't want to draw it in the black costume. So he came up with an idea, went to David Michelin saying, hey, what if we do this? David Michelin, who loves, you know, a challenge, wrote the book to get the villain out of the symbiote. And that's how basically Venom was born. was Todd McFarlane wanting to draw classic Spidey.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the few people that does hate the black costume. But what? How are we getting? Is he getting the symbiote back? Does this have anything to do with what's going on in Venom right now? Tell me more.
So this is going to be untold stories from when Spider-Man first had the black costume, when it was actually the symbiote. It's going to be five issue miniseries starting in April. And the first villain he's fighting in is Mysterio.
My man.
Your boy.
Can we have an announcement right here?
Sure. What's good?
For a little over 3 years now, we've all kind of been hanging out.
Yeah.
And we know my favorite Batman villain is who?
Joker. I'm playing.
Riddler.
And I've always, my Spider-Man villain's always been Mysterio.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
With this new movie coming out, I'm seeing a bunch of fake ass Mysterio fans jumping on the bandwagon.
It's bothering you, isn't it?
A little bit, because it used to be one of those characters where like you knew you'd get made fun of for liking them.
Yeah.
But like deep down, you know that they were a really cool character.
Nobody likes Mysterio.
Well, now
they're
Mysterio
fake.
Was trending higher than Spider-Man was when that trailer dropped.
I won't lie. They somehow have made Mysterio look cool in these trailers.
He looks like the comic.
He looks awesome.
Because he looks like the goddamn comic. Anyway, he's fighting Mysterio?
Yeah, so apparently when he first had the black symbiote costume, he actually never fought Mysterio.
Really?
So people were asking, like, hey, is this in continuity? Is it out of continuity? They said, no, it's in continuity. It's just untold stories.
I could have swore he trashed Mysterio in the black costume once.
I think it was actually the black costume, like after he got rid of the symbiote. MJ made him a black costume, but it was never, he never
it
fought.
It wasn't the symbiote.
It wasn't the symbiote black costume, okay. Correct.
All right.
So
I could have sworn.
So the title of this 5-issue miniseries is called Symbiote Spider-Man.
And who is doing this wonderful series for us?
So we have, the writer is Peter David. You might know him from, he did like a 12-year arc on The Incredible Hulk.
Mm. What else did he do?
Your favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
Young Justice.
2099.
That's right.
This guy's a hack.
He also did do Young Justice,
yes,
and X-Factor, actually.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
I love X-Factor. The artist is Greg Land. He's done a little bit of everything. Some of the big ones are Birds of Prey, Nightwing, The Ultimate Fantastic Four, and a bunch of the Marvel Zombie covers.
That's cool.
So not the ones that Arthur did, where they were the classic comic covers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He did the ones that were classic horror movie.
Okay. Oh, okay, so like Marvel Zombies 2, I believe.
Two or three, movie in there. They still had the classic covers with Arthur, mm-hmm, but they started throwing zombie movies into it, which I remember loving those covers. So I'm excited for this book, and it's been a while since I've been excited for Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's a nice five little...
When was I excited for Spider-Man?
Far From Home. Yep. Gotcha.
On that silence.
But it's a nice five little issue miniseries, you know, nice and short.
Bring back these standalone miniseries.
Yes.
These little 5-issue bangers, knock them out real quick. Give us a cool story that we don't have to invest into 4 other titles. Yeah.
I will say I like standalone series, especially if it's just a short story arc. It could be origin. It could be, you know, some just random story.
Well, speaking of... continue with little mini series. We have another one coming up.
What we got?
We got...
Look at Baby Huey running the news.
Right? Go ahead with yourself.
Yeah.
Daddy's proud of you.
Oh, my God.
just accept it.
So we have Major X.
You know it to be true.
Major X.
Major X.
Did this character come out in the 90s or what?
Yeah.
Kind of?
What do you mean kind of? What's going on?
Are there ninjas?
So Major X is a Rob Liefeld created... We don't know if he's a hero or a villain yet.
Who is Rob Liefeld?
The creator of Deadpool.
The Mr. 90s. The pouch.
Are there pouches?
No.
What? I think there was a couple. All right, so Major X created by Rob Liefeld.
Are there feet?
I saw hands.
You saw hands?
It's a 6-issue miniseries. Now, after reading about this character, it was at work. It sounds like a pretty cool idea. So the name is kind of cheesy.
It is.
Major X hails from another realm, which is called the Existence. It's been like a mutant Shangri-La where they've been peace and harmony,
mm-hmm,
and lovey-dovey and all this happy getting along going down.
And everyone's just as happy as the littlest elf.
But something happens where he jumps out and he comes into the main realm, the main 616 Marvel,
Earth,
or whatever, mm-hmm, they call it, like the main Marvel. But it doesn't go completely as planned. What happens?
So apparently when he tries to come into the 616 dimension, he actually goes back in time.
What?
Yeah, and he ends up in 1991. Whoa. That's the same year that Deadpool came out.
Liefeld.
So apparently this 6-issue miniseries is going to start back in 1991, and it's going to work its way into current continuity. So a little retro.
It'd be cool seeing a character that's now that looks like it started back then going through the ages of comics.
Now, I wonder if they're going to change his costume, because it's from 91 to now. So the costume they show on the...
is very 90s.
It's very 90s. It's
with pouches?
It looks like Dredd and Deadpool.
Yeah, his
helmet combined into one.
It's got a dreadish helmet with a big X on the front, and then his costume's black with a red X going all like X Factor classic.
Like a giant like glowing circle in the center of his chest.
Yeah, like an Iron Man.
So Cyclops Havoc.
Yeah, kind of.
I like Dredd and Deadpool, but whatever. when's this coming out?
In April. So in April you can pick up Spider-Man and Major X.
It'd be funny if this was an April Fool's joke.
It could be.
So we've talked about Walmart. Let's talk about their classier brethren, Target.
Target?
They're French.
They are?
Target. You never heard him say Target?
I've heard people say Target. I didn't know they were French.
Oh, oui, oui.
Oh, Joe.
Fun story. When baby, when baby Huey and I were up at the one toy like release announcement, we're sitting there looking through toys, and like the manufacturers have talked to us like this is coming out, and it was
Up in New York.
Yeah, it was the DC, no, the Star Wars toys, the ones with Rey. I think they're still around, like the dolls with the hair.
Oh, the I know they're the Barbie style.
The Barbie style, yeah, Star Wars toys. They had Chewie and all that, and like they're talking to us, and we turn to our side, and I'll never forget, it was like a bunch of these like senior VP of buying and for Target. So like they gave us the same spiel that they gave like Target for carrying their toys. And we're like, we really don't belong here at all.
How did we get there? We're there with like the hot.
I led you there.
Yeah, we're up there with the higher ups with like Target, Spartacus. Walmart, major chains.
All right. So what's going on with Target, Feach?
You just said that you weren't supposed to be there.
So Target and DC seem like they're doing something. What are they doing?
It's like the Primal Age 100-page comic.
So Primal Age is what?
Primal Age is a take Funko has done with the DC figures, kind of making them look like the old school He-Man toys.
And they've done that with a lot of the properties that they have.
Yeah,
we have some of those, don't we?
We have one of them right over there.
That Mr. Freeze?
Yeah, Mr. Freeze, the exclusive New York Comic Con.
Mm. Yeah, they've done with all the horror figures. So it was an Amazon exclusive originally, and now as of just what last week, it started hitting the stores up in Target, and now Target's gonna have a comic to go with the figures.
100-page comic.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Is it all one story, or what we got going on in it?
This looks like a.
We got. I'll read it. It's a 32. The main story is a 32-page story by Marv Wolfman. Who knows who Marv Wolfman is? Creator of
Blade.
He also worked on Daredevil
and Superman. That's your favorite character.
Yeah. If you don't know who Marv Wolfman is, take a break. Go grab some of his books. They're phenomenal. But the 100 pages, 32 of them are going to be like a main story of that universe. But what I think is really cool, and it keeps going back to this same thing we just talked about, there's a bunch of little stories in it that look like they go with each of the characters. So you've got Born on a Monday,
Solomon Grundy,
Ice and Fire.
Fire and Ice.
So that would probably be
Freeze,
Mr. Freeze, and
I don't know who the fire would be.
No, Captain Cold and what's his name?
He's not one of the toys they released.
Oh. Wow.
Darkest Night,
Batman,
Superman,
Joker's Wild,
the Joker,
the Riddler,
and then Not a Bird, Superman,
Batman.
So it seems pretty cool. I'm probably gonna get it if it's already out, and any of you guys are in Target and you see it, grab me a copy.
Supposedly it is already out. It is about 10 bucks. So I'll be at the look.
Pages?
No, not at all.
$1 per 10 pages? Not bad at all. Listen, the line's cool. If you haven't looked up the if you were a He-Man fan and you like that 80s nostalgia, these toys really do capture it well.
Yeah, and the toys are really cool. I mean, it's just it harkens back to that old He-Man thing. So I'm excited about this, and now a comic go with it. That's awesome.
Remember the He-Man, the version of He-Man when it was all rubber? You had to put your thumb in the back of it.
Oh wow, yeah.
Wow, I forgot about those.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to TV. We don't have much. We do have
the Beast
joining Arrow.
Yeah.
Now he's got a real exciting character he's bringing to us.
Really?
Are you ready for this one?
Really?
Maybe.
Yeah. His character's name is Narrator.
I'm sorry. What?
Narrator. The Narrator.
So
he's going to narrate Arrow's 150th episode.
Narrator. Swear to the narrator.
You've lost features already.
What's wrong, Feach?
Okay.
Narrator.
Jeez. Blow my ears, why don't you?
So, in the 150th episode, there's going to be a behind-the-scenes documentary based in the Arrowverse on Ollie.
Mm.
And then also, since Green Arrow is public, his Green Arrow character.
Okay.
And Kelsey Grammer is going to be the narrator's voice for that documentary.
That's actually going to be pretty cool. Kelsey Grammer has a great reading voice.
He does.
Narrator.
No.
So that's that news.
The only thing that would have been better than Kelsey Grammer if they got Morgan Freeman.
That would be good.
Or Samuel L. Jackson.
Real.
Yep.
They'd have to beep every other word. Maybe perfect. Huey. 30 seconds or less. Your thoughts on so far of Punisher Season 2. All right, that's all we needed. I'm hearing a lot of that from people that it starts off slow, gets really good, and then like every Netflix show, they bumble the ending.
That's just like the first season. Started off kind of slow, right?
I'm on episode 11, and it's just now getting good. So, I binge all the Netflix shows.
I forgot it was even out. I was off all weekend, and then yesterday night, baby, he was like, Punisher's out. I was like, oh, yeah, it was. Which goes to show, there's so much good content out right now. I think that's why these shows aren't getting the same buzz they are, because there was a bunch of other TV I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just been taking a while for me who I binge everything. It's been pushing it to binges.
Not as bad as Luke Cage, though, right?
It's better than Luke Cage.
All right.
What?
Really? Going back to the Kelsey Grammer news, the CW shows are back. Flash was back last week. This week, we've got the rest of them. So thank goodness for that. I promise this year that I'm going to stay on top of my CW show watching.
No, you're not.
I always am up to date until the break.
You just put your hand down.
And then after the break,
I always
lose track of them.
Don't make that promise.
But I did get to watch Deadly Class's first episode.
What's that?
So Deadly Class was an Image comic based in the late 80s in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Where...
What was that?
There's a school of sorts called King's Dominion that gets kids from the streets and then kids of like mobsters and different gangs and trains them to be assassins. And the idea was to train people that didn't have power to overthrow the people that do have power. So kind of keep balance in that world.
Is it roller coasters? King's Dominion.
All right.
I earned this one.
He did.
In a 1-2. Earth 2!
I got a little loud.
Welcome to the planet.
Earth 2 is where we don't know how your brain got from point A to point B. Thank you for flying the friendly skies of Earth 2 air.
Yeah.
There's an amusement park called King's Dominion.
Yes, there is. I watched the first episode, and I have to say, it was freaking phenomenal. One, Henry Rollins is in it.
Rollins is in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta watch it.
What network?
Or? Sci-fi.
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 Right now, the first episode is free on iTunes, so you can watch there. It is shot so incredibly well. It looks like a movie.
Which means it costs a lot of money probably to make?
Yes and no, because it's basically street scenes and city.
Okay.
You know, they just spent a lot of time on the cinematography of it.
Run down that dark alley.
Benedict Wong is the guy in charge of the school.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
Benedict Wong. Isn't that Wong?
That's Wong from Doctor Strange. Yeah. You win a cookie.
Is it chocolate
Wait,
chip?
Okay. Disclaimer. Why'd you clap like that?
Yay,
I got it. It's Clint. Yay. I remember seeing previews for it now. Sorry.
Everything about it's good. So they're, I mean, it's pretty violent.
Really?
Oh, I mean, it's called Deadly Class.
But check it out. It's got me from episode one.
Yeah.
And it's hard for a story to set up the premise and do all the world building that it did that mm-hmm. quick. But, and it's got some cool special effects to it. There's like animated comic book scenes in it. So,
like Hulk and Lee's Hulk?
No.
Not like this.
I can't even remember.
Okay, good.
Just watch it.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it. It seems like it's going to be one of the new shows that not only catches you from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully it'll keep us through it.
Features, that means he's not watching any of the Arrowverse.
Yeah.
Shut up. I can't stop watching The Rookie. I'm so up to date on that.
I'm finally caught up on that, so we'll talk later.
Let's get into movies real quick. Aquaman passes $300 million domestically. It hit $306 million domestically as of this weekend. Let's put this into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The number one grossing DCEU movie domestic was $412 million with Wonder Woman.
Mm.
Underneath that was Justice League with $330. Underneath that was Suicide Squad with $325. So it is gaining up there. Here's where it's in a league of its own.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman worldwide gross was $409 million, bringing her to $821 million.
Okay.
Aquaman
is already a billion, right?
Yeah. He's $760 million.
God damn.
Globally.
Language.
He is almost double what Wonder Woman's worldwide gross was.
That's insane. Like,
that shows James Wan knows what he's doing. He made a film that the world loves. And if you remember, the U.S. is not the biggest market anymore.
No.
So these filmmakers that are just making movies for U.S. fans, you're going to see them start to dwindle a little bit. Now, who knows how to make a great worldwide movie?
China.
Who knows how to make a great worldwide movie?
Michael Bay.
is this the second time this year we've mentioned Michael Bay? So, we're on a good run.
Yeah. Well, and here's why I'm mentioning Michael Bay. So Bumblebee 2 might be in the works. It's done $412 million worldwide. It hasn't been released in Japan yet, so hopefully they'll get a big bump in there. But The Last Knight made $605 million worldwide. Transformers movie before this.
Oh, okay.
The one that everybody hated still made a crap ton of money overseas.
It was horrible.
I mean,
it's because Michael Bay knows how to make a movie that the whole world loves.
Okay. Never mind. I don't want to offend the world.
Dollars don't lie,
and I'm not trying to offend the world. I love the world.
We are the world.
I'm noticing a trend here with the movies that the world likes.
If this Bumblebee 2. If the second one gets greenlit and it actually goes through and stuff, like, I'm excited because
Bumblebee tuna.
I really hope it's a fresh start for the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Hmm. But let's jump back in the DCEU. We have Aquaman.
Do we have to?
Which was a
smash.
A divisive
it was.
Movie.
I like that you say that. That's like self-realization.
Well,
from
here's
you.
Why it was, because a lot of people love it. We put a poll out there. 85% of our firesiders.
I was the 1%. I really was. I can't really say I loved it, and I can't say I hated it, but I have to lean towards it.
If you have two to choose from, you're going to say.
But what it did is the two movies that did best, actually the three top movies. Three of the top movies that did well for the DCEU were kind of standalone movies.
True. You know,
Wonder Woman. Okay.
Squad and Aquaman.
Diva Squad was trash.
But it did well for them.
It did.
It brought
money. The Warner Brothers chairman said this: "We are far less focused on a shared universe. We take it one movie at a time. If you had to say one thing about us, it's that it always has to be about the directors. So moving forward, they are looking at things like this Joker movie, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. Well, think about other than Zack Snyder. It was about the directors for them. I see if he should make it a fate. It was about the directors for all of these films.
Okay.
However, the director that they put in charge of it just didn't have the vision that the fans wanted. But then when you, what was the, I always forget her name, the Wonder Woman director.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Huey looked it up. But she had a very clear vision of what Wonder Woman was going to be.
She did.
James Wan, you cannot say that this was not a James Wan project.
Right. And I appreciate James Wan's vision. Because there was a specific vision that he had for Aquaman. I appreciated that.
Patty Jenkins.
With them saying this in the new Joker movie, which is already getting some good buzz behind
I'm hype about that.
I'm so excited for that.
DCEU might not be the DCEU that we thought of. It doesn't seem like they're going to scrap everything. It might be like the comics, though, where they're in the same world,
mm-hmm.
but not every movie is
linked
together and making sure that they mention everything every time.
Right.
So you might get a Batman movie that Wonder Woman is in a scene, or they mention Wonder Woman, or he teams up with Aquaman.
It'll just be something in the background, probably. Not even mentioning.
Yeah. So I think this is great self-awareness, and I think this might be able to take the DCEU and push them forward to where they will be on par with the quality that we're expecting from Marvel.
Like, I still don't trust them. They got this one.
Well, I think at least they finally realized where they screwed up, and they should have went the Marvel route with the standalones and then go to the connected stuff.
Well, here's the next thing that we have. We've got the new Shazam trailer.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So this is building. Like, if this Shazam movie hits, well, the trailer's great. They're throwing some shade at Batman. Did you guys catch that?
No, I didn't.
The gloom over the city.
Well, no. When you start the trailer, it's he's not so serious. You know, the why so serious.
Well, okay. Yeah.
You know, because it's a lighter movie. The scene at the end where they're like, yeah, we're looking for a lair with the realtor. Like, anything castle-esque, maybe on rocks or cliff. He's like, yeah, overlooking water crashing. Like, if this movie does well and is received well by the fans, the critics don't have to like it. The fans have to like it. Kind of like Aquaman.
Right.
Critics actually didn't bash Aquaman as much as I thought they would.
No, the critics actually were saying great, like, good things about Aquaman.
There was a few that hated it, but it was much better. But if the fans like it as much as the majority of the fans like Aquaman, this will now be a third movie that did well, that had fan love for it, and that had this tone where it wasn't connected to everything else.
Well, believe it or not, I think Shazam, like, before we had started recording, I was saying I think Shazam would probably be that one before he said Aquaman would do his one. Only because Shazam, even though he does have ties to the rest of the Justice League, he's always kind of been a standalone character. So this kind of like, this was going to be a movie untouched by the rest of the DCU, regardless of what they tried to do.
And what it looks like they're doing with this, and I don't know if it's on purpose, but if you've noticed, there hasn't been much publicity or advertising for Shazam.
I think we're going to start getting it now.
But what I think they're doing is they're saying, okay, how well will a kind of standalone movie do without the super big push that they gave Aquaman? Now, with Aquaman, they had to overcome Justice League and the Batman movies and Aquaman's general people thinking that he's a joke character. So getting past the comic fans on that, it needed that advertising.
He still talks to fish.
He made talking to fish look damn cool, though. Yeah, I'll summon the Kraken.
And Shazam itself has nothing tied into any of the other movies within, you know, Wonder Woman. You saw her in BVS. You saw her in Justice League, her own movie. Same with Aquaman. Shazam.
You see the Batarang.
Right, but like,
there's Superman shirt somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm sure, but there's nothing really, really tying it to anything else. So this is going to be scary for them.
Real quick, Channing Tatum doesn't understand how movies work.
Oh, jeez.
Not surprised.
So we just talked about them deading the Gambit movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Good.
Well, Channing Tatum's like, I want to direct the Gambit movie. It doesn't exist anymore, bro. Now, he's talking about in the future, if it ever gets greenlit, getting like...
It's not.
Because he's so upset with all the directors...
It won't.
...being dropped off and like, you know, that... But he's not going to get that movie. It's too expensive for a first-time director.
Listen.
Moving on.
If they were to do that, he's got to kiss some mouse behind.
Reign of Superman. The animated feature. was phenomenal.
It was really, really good.
It was so close, yet so far from the source material that I was waiting. The only thing they didn't do is drop the Metropolis Kid.
I was waiting for that.
You know, because they kept calling him Superboy. So I wanted them to rebrand him as the Metropolis Kid.
Right, and then because when Lex was sitting in the limo with him, he's like, all right, we need to rebrand you. I'm like, all right, they're going to call Metropolis Kid. Never happened.
So.
And the twist at the end of who the big bad is.
It was good.
Did not see that coming. Don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
So go check it out. And I watched it back to back with the Death of Superman movie, and it keeps the pacing up.
Mm. Does it? Okay.
So it's like a 3-hour ordeal.
Yeah, I was hoping to see the last weekend. AMC had a full, got to watch both movies back to back. None of our theaters in our area did it. So,
all right. We're going to end this on some news that we talked about in the beginning and has Tom Holland in it.
Tom Holland.
What do you do now?
He actually thought he leaked the entire Endgame movie, which, you know, when we're dealing with Tom Holland, that's usually the case.
Yeah, somebody had put like a fake article up, like Tom Holland leaks entire thing to Twitter, and he goes, shit, did I? Like, you know, him playing around with him, you know, being the loose lips that he was. But it just shows the one thing you do have to say about Tom Holland. And he's standing on the shoulders of the other Spider-Man actors to be able to do this, is he is interacting with the fans and really owning the character. And that likability there.
No, so. It's just he leaks so much stuff, he's not even sure when he actually did or didn't do it now.
It's true. But on that note, features, do that thing.
You can find...
do that thing.
You confused him.
See,
you started also well. Go
ahead. I did, because it's that hype part, and then like...
You can find the show pretty much Welcome to Fireside Everywhere. Remember, give us a like, a share, a comment. Invite people to the Firesider groups. Talk to us. Please.
We're bored. Talk to us.
Well, we're not all that bored. Some of us have actual work.
Yeah. Baby Huey.
I work.
Yeah.
When I want to.
but no, it does. Everybody says this. I don't know if everybody means it as much as we do. We really do appreciate it. We love everyone that interacts with us. We get to experience some things for the first time again because of other fans bringing them up to us. But welcome to fireside.com. You can also check us out on all the social media, Welcome to Fireside, or Twitter, Fireside Crew. But yeah, as always, I'm Mr. Maurer.
I'm Features.
I'm Baby Huey.
Don't forget to check us out on the OG Podcast Network. That's OGPodcastNetwork.com. Or
the app.
The app.
Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Deuces.